Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. What would you do if you found yourself going a little crazy before your wedding over how you will look? After Kirsten Grease found herself buying a fourth wedding dress, trying to find the perfect look, despite all her work in the field of women and body image in which she works, she took action. She gave up mirrors for 1 year and blogged about it. Now a book is out called Mirror, Mirror Off the Wall, How I Learned to Love My Body by Not Looking at It for a Year. And she joins me now to share what she learned. Welcome to WNYC, Kirsten.
Thank you. Good morning.
You're finishing your PhD in sociology on the issue of beauty standards and gender inequality, of all things.
Yes.
And you have a history with an eating disorder, you tell us.
Mm-hmm.
So were you surprised when you found yourself going a little overboard with the wedding dresses?
I was surprised, but probably shouldn't have been. The body image culture that we live in is intense all the time, but there are particular times in women's lives when they get even more intense. So puberty would be one of them, and certainly when you're about to be married, that's another time.
So why did it seem like mirrors were the problem?
You know, the truth is mirrors weren't the problem. It was how I was using them, and I decided that instead of trying to change my body, I needed to change my mind, and removing mirrors was a great tool to do that.
Do you think you were ignoring how you felt in the dresses or even really looked in the dresses in an attempt to match an image in a magazine?
Yeah. I always tell myself, I'm not trying to look like a model, but again, I was focusing on parts of my body and being disappointed. And you're right that I wasn't focusing on how I felt. The first dress I bought, flash sale, impulse purchase, not a good thing to do when you're shopping for a wedding dress. It wasn't returnable and it was a size too small. That just wasn't a good decision. It wasn't a happy situation to find myself in.
Not returnable is usually
I know.
Not a good thing under any circumstances. Listeners, we just have a few minutes for this, but is this an issue you've dealt with? Do you notice how often you check yourself out in mirrors? Have you tried to do without? Call us at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And your feminism still allows for shopping and makeup, right?
Yes, it does. Feminism means a lot of things for a lot of different women, but at the heart of it is a commitment to equality between men and women and toward all people. And there's nothing about getting dressed or putting on makeup that in and of itself prevents, that kind of equality that we're targeting.
So was the main question you faced during this year without mirrors was how you would put on your makeup?
Yes, it was. And this was among both my, everyday friends from all walks of life and included my academic colleagues. Yes, everyone was really curious about the makeup question.
And how did you put on your makeup?
I decided I needed to opt for smearable products is what I call it. So things that were really sheer and easy to smear on with my fingers. And then, of course, I just had to hope that someone would tell me if I had smeared them into the wrong places.
What was it like when you finally looked in the mirror again a year later?
You know, by the time I was getting ready to see myself again, I didn't want to. Not so much because I was afraid of seeing my reflection, but because I was enjoying so much kind of peace with myself, engaging more in the outside world and in the inside, how I felt, and not worrying about my appearance. But when I finally looked in the mirror, I was really happy to see the first thing I saw was color, bright pink cheeks because I was nervous. I have blonde hair, so that seemed like bright yellow, and a white smile. So that was nice. And then behind me, I saw all of my friends and family standing and smiling at me. So that was probably the most beautiful part of the reflection.
You did this in the company of loved ones, like a big intervention moment in your life?
I did. I really struggled with that decision, whether I wanted a private moment or a party. I knew I couldn't decide until the very last minute. So I booked a room at the San Francisco Women's Building to have a small party. But I made sure that there was a coat closet nearby So we brought a mirror with us, and it was either going to be in the room or in the coat closet, depending on how I felt at that last minute.
And what do you think, before we go to a few phone callers, that you really got out of a year without mirrors?
You know, I got a lot of things out of this year. One of the biggest lessons was the importance of trust. And a lot of women really struggle accepting compliments, especially from their loved ones. So a partner might say, "I think you're beautiful." And our reaction is, "Oh, you're just saying that because you love me." But I kind of learned throughout this process that if the person and the people who love you are the ones who think you're beautiful, isn't that the whole point?
Krista in Bergen County, you're on WNYC with Kirsten Greise, author of Mirror, Mirror Off the Wall, How I Learned to Love My Body by Not Looking at It for a Year. Hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. For the last few months, I'm pregnant right now, and I'm due at the end of the month. And I asked the doctors and the nurses if I can just step on the scale backwards to not focus on my weight, because of the 2 years before I got pregnant, I changed diet and lifestyle and lost 20 pounds. So I wanted to keep focusing on eating healthily and for the betterment of the baby and not so much for my own neurosis.
So mirrors, yes, but scales, no.
Right. Absolutely.
Thank you very much. And Dale in Chelsea, you're on the air. Hi, Dale.
Hi. I just went yesterday to shop for a wedding dress because my last day at work was on Tuesday, and my boyfriend wants to get married because I don't have health insurance as of Wednesday. And so I went into Lohmann's.
How romantic.
I know. I was just about to say the exact same thing.
Isn't that hideous? Anyway, so, you know, we went to City Hall on Wednesday and got a marriage license. And then I was like, I got to get a dress because I thought it would be depressing down there, but there are people trotting around in tuxedos and everything else. It's pretty funny. So I was on the way to all these bridal shops in Chelsea, but I said, let me check Lohmann's. Well, there were three dresses, the same dress. Two of them were 3/4s, and one of them was a 9/10. And the 3/4 was too small, and they looked on the inventory, and they said there's a 5/6 in White Plains, and could I get it, you know, in 3 to 5 business? Anyway, the long story short is that the woman said, oh, try on the 9/10. The woman, and it's still snug. It's hideous.
Well, I can explain that a bit. I used to work in fashion, and a lot of my research in sociology is about the fashion industry and how it shapes our understanding of normal and ideal bodies. And you've probably heard of vanity sizing. If you haven't, it's this trend where the clothing sizes stay the same in terms of measurement, but the label we give them keeps getting smaller. And we see this in a lot of companies, but the wedding dress industry has largely ignored the trend. So when you're trying on an 8/10.
It's really an 8/10.
Well, it's really an 8/10 in the sense that Marilyn Monroe used to be a size 12, but she had a 26-inch waist.
Dale, congratulations on your wedding. Going to sneak in Jane in Brooklyn. Jane, we don't have much time for you, but you want to say kind of a opposite thing, which is that using mirrors is a type of psychotherapy for you?
Yes. I was very young at the time, and I guess I think in my 20s is very young since I'm almost 70. There was no assistance of any kind available to me or anyone like me, and I decided I would have to, after years of a problem that my mother had with my appearance.
And Jane, that's very interesting. I'm sorry we have to leave it there. But there, for her, looking at herself helped her get over something.
You know, that makes perfect sense. And again, I say mirrors aren't the problem. It's how we use them. In fact, in a lot of eating disorder recovery programs, part of the treatment protocol is asking women and men with eating disorders to literally look at themselves in the mirror. It's called mirror exposure therapy, which always makes me think that they're going to throw me out into the wilderness cold weather with a mirror. But the idea is to look at yourself in a mirror and say things that are objective about your body instead of subjective. And so instead of saying, I'm a big fat slob, say, I have a round belly.
Kirsten Greise, that's Gruys. Her book is called Mirror, Mirror Off the Wall, written after she didn't look in the mirror for a year. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd be
your mind.